is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
I think the fun part has been watching our guys have success doing what we're doing. I mean, we have had some possessions in our scrimmages and a lot of competition in practice. You're like, this is what, you know, it's happening. You got to be patient. You can't just dive in plays and give guys away and assume they're just going to figure it out overnight. Not when you're doing what we're doing right now. When you're thinking about 9 new players, 6 guys that played for the previous program. In reality, you have 15 new basketball players and 7 coaches. So that's 22 people trying to get it figured out one way.
Welcome to episode 10 of our Hoopheads podcast series called Mentality with Dwayne Killings, season 1 at UAlbany. The series will continue to document Dwayne's first year as the head men's basketball coach at the University at Albany. We plan to record and release 2 to 4 episodes per month with Dwayne and players, coaches, administrators, media members, and others associated with the Great Danes basketball program to get an inside look at what being a first-year head coach at the Division I level is all about. On this episode, Dwayne and I discuss the Great Danes' preseason preparation leading up to their season opener with Towson, Dwayne's first game as the head coach at the University at Albany. Hey Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Sign up now for their virtual camp 2.0 featuring 10 days of workouts with pro trainers from the Dr. Dish family. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Tom Heil, head men's basketball coach at Baldwin Wallace University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improve communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Follow us on social media at hoopheadspod on Twitter and Instagram. And be sure to check out the Hoopheads Podcast Network for more great basketball content. Are you tired of overpaying for your video and analytics platform? Well, it's time to check out QuickCut.com, a platform built by coaches for coaches. QuickCut is undeniably more affordable. It's all cloud-based and comes packed with features to help high schools and youth programs store, share, and analyze game film. Make the switch, get double the storage, and save your program up to 50% on the fastest-growing video editing system in the country. For more information or to request a free trial, visit quickcut.com/basketball. That's QWIKCUT.com.
Listen and learn from UAlbany men's basketball head coach Dwayne Killings as we discuss his first preseason with the Great Danes.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Clinsing here without my co-host Jason Sunkel on this Sunday morning. But we are pleased to welcome back to the podcast to preview the season opener coming up on Tuesday with Coach Dwayne Killings, the head men's basketball coach at UAlbany, for our special series Mentality. Dwayne, welcome back, man. It's been a little while. It has. It's good to be back, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Scheduling has been a challenge between your schedule, my schedule, and trying to make this work. We finally were able to get it done on a Sunday morning at 8 a.m. So appreciate you getting up at least relatively early. Probably not early compared to your usual start to the work week, I'm guessing.
Man, sleep's been interesting the last week. but I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Very cool. So where are you in the prep for your game on Tuesday? How are you feeling about things sitting as we sit here on a Sunday morning, 2 days away?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. I've said it a couple of times. You know, I think we where we are because this is where we're supposed to be as a team, you know, because it's where we're at right now. You know, we're doing some good things and there's some things that we're, you know, we still have to grow and kind of figure out. But I was actually thinking the other day, and I said this to my staff, you know, I think you take all of your experiences, all the places I've been, all the places my staff has been, and you try to compare it. And I think the hard thing is, like, you know, when I went to Temple, Coach Dunphy had just taken over for Coach Cheney. So that was kind of a real rebuild and kind of building the program all the way over from all the guts and the culture and just how you're doing things, how you're saying things. And that was hard. And we got it right, obviously, while we were there. For Coach Jackson, Coach Tibbs, you know, they were part of a brand new staff. But interestingly enough, the assistant coach got elevated to head coach. So the culture and the how and the feel was so different, you know, for those guys. So sometimes, you know, where you feel like we should be further down the road or we should be doing different things, it's hard to compare it all because this is brand new. And then we brought in 9 new guys, you know. So I think we're trying to get it all right. I love, you know, what we're becoming. I love the potential of our team. You know, some guys have really grown since we've been on campus. And, you know, as you think about the game for Tuesday, it's time to compete against somebody else. And what I just tell our guys is, you know, what kind of statement are we going to make on Tuesday night about our program, about us as individuals? And then at the end of the day, you know, we have to be able to identify ourselves when people watch us that we're playing hard and we are giving an effort that's reflective of winning. And when you think about being organized and what you need to run, how you're going to attack on offense and what you're going to do defensively, we're going to make mistakes because it's new and the speed of the game and the environment playing against fans in front of fans for the first time, you know, will be an adjustment for us. But at the end of the day, if we're playing the right way and we're connected, you know, I think we can overcome some of our opportunities, what I call them opportunities for growth. You know, they're not challenges. We just, you know, we got to grow. And some of the growth for us will happen in game.
What has the practice environment been like for you as a head coach versus what it was like at your various stops as an assistant? Has it been like you expected in terms of you being the guy putting it together and trying to not only get in the basketball piece of it, but also building in that culture piece every day and making sure your guys are connected? What's that been like compared to maybe your expectations in terms of preseason practice?
You know, I think the thing for me that I try to focus a lot on is, you know, the culture moments. I mean, you know, helping our guys understand, like, hey, this is how you win. You know, this is why that loose ball is so important. And if a guy didn't dive on it, let's talk about, you know, what that ball could mean for you. Valuing possessions. You know, you start doing situations, time and score. If guys aren't making the right read or the right play, or they're not understanding, hey, I'm up 5 and I get a quick 2 and I miss it, what that impact is like, you know, down the other end and what that could lead to. You have to teach that. And I think you have to be willing to be patient to kind of stop it. And I think a lot of times you can't get down the practice sheet because if we're not great at boxing out or our transition defense isn't right, we got to figure out a way to get that right. You know, in practice as an assistant for me, you know, I just kind of always erred on, you know, how do I help my head coach? How do I help the kids? Being in this capacity, you know, I love energy. I love communication. You know, I like our guys to be connected. I like us to be connected as a staff. I like it to be loud. I like it to be intense. And if it's not, you know, I demand that of our staff and our players. I just think that you have to create, especially for a new program, you know, you have to create the game intensity in practice so they can adjust to it when you get to games. And, you know, we have guys, we have 4 freshmen that are going to be in our rotation. We have a, you know, point guard that came through the JUCO system that was last year, you know, was on the team, but obviously with COVID it's a different environment. So it's the first time he's going to play in front of fans on Tuesday night. So, you know, being, I think, mindful of all those things. And I think, you know, the thing that I try to be is, you know, I know there's a buzzword, mindfulness, but be mindful of all these different elements that you're trying to manage to move the team forward day by day. And I challenge our guys, you know, I believe in it. You know, it's what I grew up in this business through, guys that, you know, not confrontational, but just challenge them and challenge them to be better, you know, challenge them to think bigger, challenge them to do more.
How have you divvied up the responsibility of your assistant coaches and your staff during the practice setting? Are you having guys look at a particular position set of players? Are you having guys, one guy that's looking mostly at offense, one guy looking at defense? Just how have you helped your staff to maximize what they're bringing every day to help your players and your team to get better?
Yeah, you know, at the beginning, I thought, you know, everybody was trying to do everything. So I tried to streamline it. So before the top of the practice plan, I'll give each guy like a focus, you know, like you're focused on, we call them tags, you know, boxing out. You're focused on that. You know, another guy is the point of the screen. Another guy is the weak side. And not saying that you can't coach that if you're not, that's not your focus. But if you're focused on one thing, that's it. And we can't miss that. So sometimes, like, if you come back and you start talking about, hey, this guy wasn't on the weak side, he wasn't, you know, at the circle, well, then I would say, well, you know, so-and-so, that was your responsibility today, so why didn't we bring it up enough? And, you know, I think you got to be accountable for some stuff because, like, I have a lot of grace for the guys that I worked for before getting this position. You have a lot of, like, for me, you know, you go from your phone's ringing all day. You got to meet with your AD. You got to talk to a couple of donors. You got to make five different decisions. There's something that comes at you that you didn't expect. And I don't really get a lot of moments for me to just to kind of get myself together. And then boom, it's practice. And I got to manage our staff, our players, our managers, the environment. That's a lot of different things that go on. So giving those guys that focus from a bigger picture, you know, Coach Jackson manages our defense. And, you know, some of it, we slowed it down because what he may have come from, you know, is a little bit different from what I want. So you got to kind of marry the two. Matt Griffin, you know, he does our player development, our shooting program. He's been tremendous in that. He also manages, you know, our missed shot offense. So, you know, when we get a defensive rebound, we flow down a certain way. So the different reads, the different installing some of the different pieces of that, he focuses on that. And then Hamlet Tibbs, you know, does our made shot offense, which is basically our plays. You know, he just kind of will, you know, we talk about efficiency when we played our two scrimmages. What are we getting out of it? We'll look at tweaking things. You know, I'll have to tell him, like, hey, let's come up with some variations of what we're doing and add on and build on it. So he'll come with some ideas and we'll talk about it. And then I think as we get going in the season, you know, it also gives them kind of a roadmap to kind of help us grow our program and our opportunities for our players. And then they've been awesome with just watching film with guys. You know, that's been a challenge. You know, our time window's tight, you know, from a school practice and then guys of class after practice. So our window's really tight. So, you know, we have to be really efficient with our film, but what they've done a really good job is pulling guys in throughout the course of the day to touch them. And also, like, being in the spot, I do think kids can't focus that long, you know, so hitting them, you know, we do our film with, we call it the DLC. We do, you know, a certain amount of clips about defense and we'll give them different focuses, a certain amount of clips about offense, give them a certain amount of focus, and then we give them culture. So Matt does a culture play. So it could be a charge, could be a loose ball. Could we call it Benergy? It's like the bench energy. You know, he'll kind of spotlight that or spotlight when it wasn't right because we're trying to grow that, right? It doesn't just happen. And then the offensive stuff Tibbs will show clips of and Coach Jackson will do the defense. But it gives him a voice. You know, it kind of – I'll talk about some of the things I want to see jump in, but we try to keep that tight. We try to keep our film sessions to 15 minutes. I don't think kids can consume any more than that. I think if you're doing more than that, you're doing it for you. And when I say that as a coach, you're doing it with the right intentions, but can the kids absorb it? Are they processing it? Did they hear the first thing you did in minute one, but not minute 12 and then minute 20? Who knows? And I don't know if that's the best use of time, as I've kind of thought more and more about it. And there's times where we have to watch the whole game to make a point and all that. But I think there's ways to be more efficient with what we're trying to do.
Before or after practice with film?
We always do it before, which is, you know, which is hard because now your guys do a good job of getting in the gym. I mean, our pre-practice stuff has been really good. So they're getting lathered up and then you got to sit them down and then you got to get them going again. It's harder. I haven't loved trying to do it after practice just because I think now you're on the clock because, you know, we have to get them out by a certain time so they can eat and get to class. And then, you know, actually my video coordinator, he said at Penn State with Pat Chambers, they used to chop up film and watch it in practice. We haven't tried that yet, but it's something I'm thinking about.
Yeah. It seems like if you, especially with the technology available today, that you could have a board out there and be able to even step off to the side. Hey, let's 30 seconds here. Let's watch this. You know, let's watch this clip. Here's a situation that we, you know, you're doing a similar drill to the one you did the day before, 2 days ago, and you pull that up and it's a, you know, whatever, it could be 15 seconds, 30 seconds. It seems like that could be effective. Again, trying to manage it, you know, it could be a little bit of a challenge. And like you said, you don't want to stop the momentum. Just like when you think about providing feedback, you don't want to be stopping the drill every 10 seconds, but it seems like something that you could put it together and figure out a way to incorporate it. And it could be something that could be really beneficial.
Yeah, we're looking at it. You know, we're always thinking about ways to grow. You know, what I want to get the most out of practice a lot of days is like just the competitive piece, you know, getting our guys to compete at the level that I think is what we need. And I don't always live in like, you know, you have to do things a certain kind of way. I think that you have to approach it a certain kind of way. And if we're not approaching it a certain kind of way, we got to get it to that point. Then we can talk about the next piece. Because I think a lot of times everybody gets so focused on how it looks, you know, make it look pretty, or it needs to look perfect. It's not a perfect game. It's never going to look perfect. But are you playing hard enough? Are you competitive enough? Are you understanding what we're trying to do? Or what did you see? Because I think sometimes as coaches, you know, we're like, well, you're supposed to be right here. Well, they saw something else and they're reacting to that. And I think guys with high IQs and the athleticism and the way they can cover ground for some guys, or the understanding of what's happening, sometimes it allows them to kind of operate a little bit differently than others. But we got to make sure that you're not impacting somebody else's job where we screw up the possession. And I think we've grown a lot. And I think our kids value winning at a very different level than when they first got here.
What time do you guys practice? Like, what's your daily schedule like for your student athletes? And is it set up ideally the way you would want it if you had complete and full control over what time you practice and what time your kids go to class? I don't know where you are in terms of being able to set that up exactly how you want in your first year.
Yeah, we practice at 2:15. You know, we're pretty much off the floor. We start about 2 o'clock, sorry. We're off the floor about 5, but that's with like taping, pre-practice, film, all that stuff. So our window really is like, when you think about all the things you have to do by the time you get on the floor, we really have 2 strong hours, you know, out there. In an ideal world, I would rather go earlier. I would love to go at like 11. I think that's a perfect time. Our women's coach has that time and just works really well for her and her family. And, you know, I'm new, she's here, so I wasn't going to fight that. You know, I think also it allows us and requires us to be really efficient and think about, you know, I was on a Zoom with Brett Brown. We were just talking about stuff. And he said he always ran his program or his franchise with the mindset of what's most important. And I thought that was gold, you know, because sometimes you're doing things to do them, or you want to do them, or you feel like you should do them. But is that what's most important? And what's the most important thing for the day? And, you know, for us in our program, there's a bunch of things we have to attack, you know, the academic side. There's things you have to manage on campus or in the athletic department, things you have to manage with your players, with your student athletes. And then there's practice. And, you know, what's the most important things on that given day and that given moment? And I actually think about that a lot in practice. Like, what's the most important thing right now based off what I'm seeing? Because sometimes, you know, there's a lack of, there could be a guy that's not focused, right? So what's the most important thing right now? To refocus everybody, or to get this drill right, or to make sure that we're talking about 15 different things versus like teaching these guys that you need to be focused, you know, throughout the course of the day, because when we play on Tuesday, if you lose your focus, we're going to get beat on the back door, and that's going to cost us the game. And it's teaching guys, I think, to valuing possessions both in the game but also in life, and connecting the two and getting to understand what it takes to be a winner. Because I think, you know, for a lot of guys that come, especially out of high school, it just happened, right? High school, you're just a good player. The coaches and the programs are really good, but sometimes they don't know what was happening while it was going on. College, it's a different animal.
How much have you had to adjust your expectations in terms of style of play and tweaks to, once you've seen your personnel, once you've seen the guys in a situation outside of the skill development that you were doing in the summer and the fall, and now you put everybody on the floor together and you had this vision of, here's exactly how we're going to play offensively, here's what we want to do defensively. Have you had to make any adjustments or tweaks to that based on what you've seen during the preseason?
Well, I went through the whole summer without making a decision on, you know, how we were going to defend ball screens. I wanted to see our guys. I wanted to just play, you know, see like who was really resilient, you know, see what kind of body types we had, see what guys' approaches were. Did guys die on screens just because they died on them? Or, you know, we have a kid, Jamel Horton, he can blow up any screen that you try to set on him. And it's something that he learned before he got to college, you know, so it's just like there, right? So that's an opportunity. I went back and watched a lot of the guys that transferred in the program. What do they do at their last places? So if you're asking to do something completely new, you know, is he going to be able to get that? But, you know, I promised myself, you know, I wasn't going to waver. Whatever we're going to start doing, I'm sticking to it. And I think, so there's this reaction to being like, if we're not good at it right now, to stop it, right? And stop doing what we're doing. Well, then if you're going to reinvest your time in something else, well, then you have to redo that and take time to get good at that. So, you know, so I've really put my feet in the sand about, you know, how we're going to defend in the half court and, you know, the different things we're trying to do. And then offensively, yeah, I think in an ideal world, we'd be doing some things a little bit different, but I think we can get there. You know, it's like, got to make sure we're not turning the ball over, and got to make sure we're getting quality possessions, you know, because obviously all those things impact the outcome of the game, they impact your defense and all that. I think we can get there. But what's been fun is like you're watching your guys and all of a sudden, you know, I'm digging for a book that I had 2 years ago when I was, you know, just keeping track of plays and stuff that I like and whatever. And now I'm like looking at, oh yeah, this could work with this group of guys, you know, or, you know, Matt Griffin come in and say, hey, you know, I was watching this team and they do some really good things with this kid. And we have a guy just like him. So, you know, what do you think about this? But I think the fun part has been, you know, watching our guys have success doing what we're doing. I mean, we have had some possessions in our scrimmages and a lot of competition and practice. You're like, this is what, you know, it's happening. So, you know, and you got to be patient. You know, it doesn't just, you can't just diagram plays and give guys away and assume they're just going to figure it out overnight. Not when you're doing what we're doing right now. When you're thinking about 9 new players, 6 guys that played for the previous program. In reality, you have 15 new basketball players and 7 coaches. So that's 22 people trying to get it figured out one way. And then also making sure you have some conviction, because again, when it's not working, the reaction is to be like, well, let's do something different, or this isn't going to work, or I don't like this, or, well, and I always say to our staff, this is what we're doing. And you got to believe in it. You got to fall in love with it. You got to invest in it, and you got to be patient with it.
What's the practice planning process like for you guys when you think about getting all the things that you want to do on both ends of the floor? How do you determine and put together that practice plan so that every day you're getting the maximum out of the time that you have with your kids? Do you start the process yourself, thinking about it, and then bring it to the staff? Is it something that you guys are sitting down in a meeting and everybody's bringing ideas? Just what does your process look like for putting together a great practice?
Yeah. So right now, I think in an ideal world, like when I was at Temple University, we used to, you know, sit down as a staff, as assistants, and build the practice and give it to Coach Dunphy, and he'd, you know, add something, take something out, we'd go. I'm not ready for that yet. You know, and I think he was ready for that, right? Because he was further into his career. You know, Coach Wojciechowski, he would take some thoughts that you would have, but he would do the practice himself. right now, you know, I do it all myself. I just feel like we have to get to a certain place. Guys have to get to know me more. You know, I think we have to go through some things before kind of we start doing all that, because otherwise the staff, their intentions are right, but they're doing and trying to add things that maybe are not exactly where I want to go with the program and the way that we play and how we do it. And I'm big on the how. You know, drills don't sound right and don't feel right, I'll stop it and make everything start over. There's an approach that we have to have to be collective and be able to get our guys in the right mindset and physically and mentally ready to attack the competition. And, you know, and that's part on us as coaches. You know, we have to coach that. Like I say to our guys, if our team's not connected, if we don't have urgency, if we're not having energy, if we're not physical, that means our staff isn't. You know, we have to bring some of that stuff to the gym. And I monitor that, you know, when practice first starts. And I'm big on setting the tone in practice. And, you know, usually the assistants kind of start the drills and kind of build it. And I'll just kind of watch and see if it's how I want it. And if it's not, then we'll restart and get it right. But I do listen, you know, they will text, you know, ideas, you know, at night, or, you know, I'll ask them for some thoughts. You know, as we're moving to playing, you know, towels, and I'll ask Coach Tibbs, got the first scout, you know, what are some thoughts you want to get accomplished for practice? But, you know, it's big on, I'm a field guy for one. And two, you know, it's about like, we need to get to a certain spot. You know, we need to be able to get there. And, you know, when I'm coaching our guys, when I'm watching our guys, I'm always thinking about, cool, how do we grow it to where I really, really want it? And I try to give these guys as many examples of the situations I've been in, the guys I worked for, to get them into my head about where I'm trying to go with it. And I think, you know, a lot of it is, and why I say, you know, we need urgency of what we're doing, but we need patience at the same time, which is hard because, you know, everybody wants to do more and has really quality ideas, but we need to be patient to make sure that we're getting it where I want it. And then we're going to feel it when it gets there. You know, and I say to our staff, I wrote it on our board to our practice the other day. I said, we need urgency, but we need patience. And our guys looked at me like I was crazy. But when I explained it, you know, we need to be patient with where we're trying to go. We need to have urgency while we're doing what we do every day.
How much do you talk as a head coach during practice compared to how much you talked as an assistant at your various stops? Because sometimes you think of the head coach being the overseer, the assistant coaches are in doing the nitty gritty stuff, and then you're jumping in. How does that fit with where you are as a program?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you talk way more as a head coach than you do as an assistant. You know, the thing that's interesting is, you know, you have to, manage, you know, right. You're managing your practice, you're managing your staff, you're managing the environment, you're managing emotions, right, during practice. And sometimes you have to coach that to make sure that you can get back into where you want to be in practice. You know, Coach Wojciechowski gave us a lot of freedom. And over my time there each year, you know, I kind of had more and more responsibility, and you had more of a presence and a voice each year. I thought in my career, it was always easier when you recruited a guy, you know, because you had that relationship. And that's where I first built this philosophy and, you know, really investing in relationships. You know, I'll try to text kids, call guys, invite them to the office, take them out to eat, because, you know, I can be demanding and I'll get them going. You know, I'll try to hold them accountable and coach them hard, but they take it because they know it comes from a really good place. I think kids have a hard time if you're coaching them and demanding a lot of them and challenging them, but then all of a sudden you don't really talk to them, right? It's like, where's this coming from?
Right.
And they know it comes from a good place. So they adjust, they take it. And we communicate about things, you know. I want to have a family atmosphere with our program. I want to make sure that our players are challenged and they accept it and they grow from it. But then at the same time, you know, I want my staff to challenge me and be comfortable with that. And I challenge them. I mean, we've had some hard conversations in our office, and I've known these guys for a long time. And I say to them, like, it's a healthy thing. We just can't be sensitive, right? Like, if you're sensitive about it and you bring that into practice, well, now we're cheating the kids. you know, we have to be able to be mindful of where we are, where we're trying to go. Also be mindful of, you know, this is my first time as a head coach, so I need to be really comfortable with what we're doing. And, you know, that needs to always be managed every single day. And, you know, I think it goes back to the patience thing. Like we're further along than I think sometimes we realize it, because, you know, you want to push to get to the other side. You're like, oh, we got to get closer. You know, we got to do this. We got to install that. You know, let's make sure we got this part right. And then we grow it from there. But I'm really excited for our program, for our team, for our staff, for our community, of what we're going to be capable of doing. And that I'm also cognizant of the fact that, you know, we're going to have some hard nights too. You know, like this team has gone through no adversity. So when adversity hits, it's going to be interesting, but there's growth in that. And, you know, I would say the same thing. I would have urgency if I was a fan to come out and support us, but be patient with what we're trying to become.
Are you tired of slipping and sliding on the court and sticky sheets just aren't giving you grip? Grip Spritz solves this problem without having to lick your hand to clean your shoes. Grip Spritz is used by countless AAU, high school and college programs, semi-pro teams, as well as NCAA athletes and G League players. Unlike other products, Grip Spritz has solutions for individual players, not just entire teams. We've used Grip Spritz at our Head Start basketball camps and players love it. To keep you and your team from slipping and sliding, visit gripspritz.net to learn more.
How has the relationship piece with both your players and the members of your staff, the dynamics of those relationships, changed in your mind as a head coach versus what they were like as an assistant? Obviously, now as a head coach from a player perspective, you're the guy here as we approach the season opening game, you're the guy determining who's going to be on the floor and who's not. Whereas when you're an assistant, that decision is not on your plate. And conversely, when you're part of a staff, you're on equal footing with the other coaches and the staff. And now you're the guy. You have to make those tough decisions. You have to hold coaches accountable, as you talked about. So how has that dynamic changed for you? And just what's that been like? What's the feeling? If you had advice for somebody who is transitioning from an assistant to a head coaching role, what have you learned so far about getting those relationships to where you want them that's different from when you were an assistant?
Yeah, like you got to figure out the line. You know, in the summer, we took our guys swimming, and I actually called Matt Langle and I said, do I get in the pool with the kids or do I not? And I asked, like three different guys that, because I just am trying to process, right? Like, you know, where's the boundaries? You know, where's the line? It's different. It is a lot different. You know, after practice as an assistant, the guys kind of come to you, right? And they gravitate towards you and you're kind of a part of the joke. And then as a head coach, sometimes you're not, you know, they don't come to you, or the guys, you don't know what's going on. And then the assistants have their own chat group, right? And it's, you're not a part of that. You know, I remember early this year, like the assistants meet a couple times a week before we meet as a staff. And it was just weird not being in the meeting, right? Because you don't really know what that's about, but that's okay. I mean, it's a good thing, but it's a whole different deal. And you got to be okay with it. And I get why people say, like, I don't feel the lonely part that people talk about as a head coach. I don't feel that yet, but I get it. Like, you know, you're not always a part of the meeting. The kids don't always come to you. You know, pregame, everybody's out there warming up. You're in the back by yourself. It's just a different world. I think I still try to pull our kids, you know, in and talk to them and, you know, touch them. But it's just a different world. And then, you know, when you have days where you get upset, everybody avoids you. You know, when you're upset as an assistant, nobody cares. You got a job. You know, and then, you know, kids are always trying to figure out where they fall in the line. You know, like, what number are they? Are they going to get in? Are they not? So there's sometimes there's an uncomfortness, you know, that goes into it. And we have a walk-on, Luke Fazolich, who came with us from Marquette. And, you know, he and I were really close, you know, at Marquette, and he'd come over the house and all that. And, you know, I have our guys over the house, but it's just a different deal. And he said, he was like, I totally get it. Like, I know this is different. And, you know, sometimes, like, I do miss some of the days where you can like even getting in the gym with the guys and just shooting, it's harder because, you know, your time is dominated, or, you know, you need some space to think, or you got to write the practice plan. You can't, you got to do media and you can't get to the kids in the same way as an assistant. But, you know, for like a week, I actually did this. I think this is really good. And I want to try to get better at keeping this part of my schedule. But our women's coach, she takes 15 minutes. Nobody's allowed in the gym but her and one player. And they just shoot. They shoot free throws. They just shoot shots. And she'll get through the whole roster in a week. And I was like, that's genius, you know, because it's like a good, when I did it, it was a great way to talk, you know, with guys, it feels good. And Rob Judson, who was with me at Marquette, actually said that when he was the head coach at Northern Illinois, you know, he used to try as hard as he could, like to try to get a couple of guys in after dinner. He said he'd go home, get his kids situated, go back to the gym at like 8:39, shoot with guys for like a half hour, shoot free throws, whatever. But he said it was like his way of staying connected to the guys. And I think that's, it's good. I mean, you just got to make time for it. You got to make it a priority. There's a lot of things that pull at your time. So I'm trying to be more creative of, you know, how we can invest back into our guys. And you know, we're getting better at it.
Talk about that off-court stuff. What's that been like for you? Obviously, it's a piece that you had responsibilities as an assistant, but now as a head coach, the responsibilities that are coming at you off the floor that have nothing to do with getting your guys prepared with playing that first game. What's that piece of it been like? How have you handled that? How's that impacted what you're doing as a head basketball coach on the actual basketball court?
Well, so like, for instance, you know, we had to do some fundraising for, you know, this isn't, you know, Marquette was one of the highest resource programs in the country. You know, we don't have that luxury here, but we have an opportunity to grow. And I think people are paying attention to our program, but it then requires you to go out and talk to people. And you know, my boss and I, we went to New York on an off day. Could have been a day to recruit or have kids in, but then somebody supports our program. So it does impact our ability to win games, right? Because you're able to reinvest into the program and the kids. It just has a different, you know, it has a different way about how that happens. You know, it's not necessarily ball screen defense or your flow on offense. It just, a chance to grow your resources, but then you can do more for your kids. That's one of the things. You know, I've tried really hard to connect to the community and do more for the community. I think that's required, you know, and being a head coach, I think you have to impact people and the community that you live and operate in. And then I want to try to get people to come out to games. So I think that also impacts winning because, you know, we've done a lot. You know, in our short time here, we built our social media platform. We've told our story to as many people that would listen, because what I want is when our kids walk out of the locker room on Tuesday, they see a big crowd and there's a lot of energy and there's a lot of excitement because they need that. And I think that they deserve that. And I also think if they don't have that on a nightly basis, we have to overcome that. That's a hole we got to dig ourselves out of for a home game. You know, when you walk out there and there's no energy, it's hard for kids. And, you know, and I think you got to remember, like, mental health is such a big thing, you know, these days. Kids process that, you know, why aren't people here? Do they care about us? Do they care about me? Is it, you know, and it's a whole nother thing. And you got to snap them out of it to be ready to compete. But again, if we have a great crowd and it can galvanize us to go on a 6-0 run, could help us win the game. We have a great crowd and they're going crazy while a kid's shooting a free throw and the kid misses, can help us win a game. And I'm trying to get all these things into one and still make sure I have time to manage our program, have the best practice we can, touch our kids, make them feel good, build up their confidence, hold them accountable, grow my staff. I mean, it's a bunch of different things, but I love it. I mean, I love doing it because I see the potential in our program. I see the potential in my staff and our players in this opportunity. I think we could do something really special here. And I think people are starting to see it. And then I go back and say the patience part, because when we get out there, we're getting out there for the first time with real refs and a real game. And, you know, there's a game intensity and a game pressure that I can't create without a real basketball game. And how do we respond to that? We'll find out. And, you know, I'm hoping we knock it out the park, but if we don't, we'll go back in the office and we'll figure out how to get it right. And then we go out to Philadelphia and play LaSalle on Saturday and come back home the following Wednesday and play Harvard at home. And, you know, this is a great opportunity for growth for our program, for our school. for our community. And, you know, I think people are embracing it, and I'm excited about it.
Where are your kids at in terms of developing some leadership within the players? Has anybody stepped up? Who stepped up? Has it been surprising to you who the guys are that have kind of filled that leadership role for your team? How have you developed that piece of what you're trying to do as you head into game one?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time, you know, helping our guys, you know, grow mentally, just getting them to be mindful of what they're doing, why they're doing it, how they walk in the gym, how serious are they about the game, how quick they get from point A to point B, you know, the decisions that they make, how it impacts the next thing. I say this all the time, your decisions create your reality. And that's both on the court and off the court. You don't get to bed on time, probably gonna have a bad day. That was your decision. That's your reality. Turn the ball over, you create a bad reality for us. Now we're in transition defense. It's a live ball turnover. They're probably getting a layup. And, you know, Will Amika has grown from that a lot. I think he's matured since we've been here from the way we do things. I've had people come in and speak to our team. David Aldridge did a Zoom with our team the other day and just talked about the media. And what I love is when you do those things and then kids come to you and start asking questions, because now it sparked their mind and they're growing. And, you know, my philosophy is when you start doing that stuff for them, you help them grow their minds. Now they're going to become better basketball players. They're going to value the possession. They're going to value ball screen defense. They're going to value you more because you value them more. You've invested in them. And I think as coaches, sometimes it becomes a little transactional. You know, I want to invest in the kids as people. And, you know, we have a kid, Dre Perry, who, you know, we have a kid, another kid, Justin Neely, who, you know, looks up to him and said, "Hey, I want you to be like a big brother to me." I thought that was awesome. I thought that was great. So I challenged Dre, you got to take him under your wing, you know, and you have to think for yourself, but also other people, because, you know, you now can kind of leave a legacy and impact this kid and his career and his future because he sees some of himself in you. You know, we have another kid, Matt Cerruti, who lives in the gym. And the thing I say to him now is, who are you taking with you? You know, it's great that you go in the gym, but who are you going to go in there and work out with? You know, Jarvis Stoles is a kid that was here who's got talent. You know, he's got talent, and I want him to do more. And I, one minute I'm telling him you need to do more. The next minute I'm telling him you think about other people. And the next minute I'm telling him that he needs to have more urgency. And I got his head spinning, but he's thinking. And he's accepted the challenge. And I think he appreciates it. Now he's got to figure out, you know, how do I be the same guy every day? And I said, some of your leadership qualities aren't going to be with your words, just with your actions. And, you know, I can go down the line for our team. I try to do the same thing for my staff. And I'm not saying I have all the answers, but, you know, I know how I got to this point in my career. And I also know the growth opportunities and the individuals that I have. And I think if we can continue to grow everybody, I personally have a coach. You know, he's actually does work with basically high level corporate leaders. And, you know, we just focus on messaging, you know, what I'm saying to my team, to our program, to the community. You know, he's awesome. He'll watch things that come up on social media and just give some feedback. And it just helps me think. And his whole thing is, you know, you're giving so much to other people. You got to keep filling yourself up and keep thinking about things. So I think it's this whole thing. And I got my deal up here and I'm trying to pour it all the way down to everybody in our program. And what I love is everybody consumes, you know, what we're trying to do. And I'll give our staff articles and send videos. They probably think I'm out of my mind, but you know, that's how I keep myself filled up.
All right. So final question. After the game on Tuesday night, I'm a fan. I'm somebody that is coming in, and obviously we're watching this iteration of your team for the very first time. When that game's over, obviously you hope you put a W on the scoreboard, but probably even more importantly, long term, what do you hope that somebody who watches that game, when they walk away and they get in their car when the game's over, what do you hope they're saying about your team and who you guys are and what you put out on the floor on Tuesday night?
That we have a program that's passionate and connected, that we play hard. We play hard for each other. I also built into our guys, you know, we're playing for our community and our school. We have to represent that. And that's hard for our guys because they haven't been here long, you know, and they just haven't experienced it long enough. But, you know, I have a the all-time leading scorer here at the school, he sent me I asked him to record a message, and I'm going to play it for the guys. And kid scored a lot, still playing. He went to the NCAA tournament. And my thing to them is, what he did is possible for you, but you represent him when you hit the floor. And I'm hoping that, you know, people see a group that's fun to watch. That's tough. I think people are going to attack us with trying to assert their toughness or figure out what our toughness levels are. And I'm hoping that, you know, our team, if you had to use a word to describe us, would be connected, tough, and a fun group to watch play basketball. Because our guys they have joy while they play. I mean, they enjoy playing that, especially with each other. And, you know, when I first got the film of the first two scrimmages, I said, I want to watch the bench and see how the bench. And it was awesome watching them celebrate other people's success. And that, for me, was like, we have a chance. And, you know, I'm watching our staff on the bench, you know, because I want to see, you know, just how, you know, are they comfortable, you know, with what we're doing, where we're at? You know, that all tells a whole story in itself. And I think for the fans, you know, I also think when we walk out there, I want us to have a presence. And, you know, Billy Lang, you know, said to me when we scrimmaged St. Joe's, he's like, when you guys walked into the building, he's like, I was impressed with your program, the way your program, you know, the presence of your program. That was a big thing. Because, you know, that tells a lot. You know, if you're disconnected, guys don't look like they want to be in there, just kind of sloughing into the gym. It's not it. And I'm hoping in the end, you know, and it may not be there at day one, but I'm hoping as we go that people say, you know, those guys are winners. Because winners have a way, you know, winners have a special way that they talk, the way they walk, the way they play, the way they interact with each other. And, you know, you can win some games just by looking down and saying, man, their culture is a lot stronger than ours. And, you know, we're working at it. And we got to get that part right.
That's good stuff. I love that, talking about the way the winners handle themselves, because I think there's no doubt when you've been around people that are successful, you see that they give off an aura. You know what that's all about. And I'm sure, based on our conversations over the last, whatever it's been, 5 months, 6 months, that your team's going to be ready to play on Tuesday night, and people are going to walk away with the things that you talked about. So I wish you good luck on Tuesday night. I know that I can't even imagine how excited you are to put your team out on the floor and see what it looks like as a head coach, and really get a feel for, hey, what do we have? What are we trying to do? Is all this work we put in, is it going to pay off? And I know it is. And I know you're excited about it. And I wish you the best of luck on Tuesday night. So thanks, Dwayne. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, and, you know, looking forward. I'll make sure we build this into the schedule some kind of way.
Yeah, we're going to get it. I think we can, you know, for our audience out there, Dwayne and I have been going back and forth. I know it's been a while since we've done one, but he and I have gone back and forth on text messages for probably, I don't know, probably since right when preseason practice started, trying to figure this out. And so we finally were able to come together, but we'll get it worked out. If this early morning weekends ends up being a good time, then we'll do that. If not, we'll figure out a way to do it. So again, Dwayne, appreciate it. Wish you best of luck on Tuesday night. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.